Hello and welcome to the Jesus Witch Podcast. I'm your host, Lena Elsaya Lee, also known as Lena the Jesus Witch on TikTok and Instagram. The Jesus Witch Podcast is a show dedicated to opening the conversation about including Jesus in witchery practices. The goal of this podcast is to not be evangelical. The goal is to spread the love, light, truth, acceptance, and oneness that is Jesus Christ himself. Here at the Jesus Witch Podcast, we believe all people are loved by God and all people are loved by Jesus. We believe in community and the power of fellowship. We believe in giving whatever you reasonably can to help your neighbor who's in need. And above all, we believe in the power of creating a relationship with Jesus that is authentic and unique to you. Join me for new episodes of the Jesus Witch Podcast every single Monday, and be sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting app. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Jesus Witch Podcast. I'm your host, Lena Elsaya Lee, also known as Lena the Jesus Witch, on TikTok and on Instagram. This week on the podcast, I'm going to be doing an episode that I've been thinking about for a very long time, and that is talking about grief and how to deal with it and how I've dealt with it as a Jesus or a Christian witch specifically. But before we hop into this episode, I just want to talk to you about a couple of different ways that you could help support the Jesus Witch Podcast and keep us going. So firstly, don't forget to subscribe to us on whatever podcasting platform you're currently listening to us on and give us a rating of 5 stars because that really helps get the word out about the show and recommends it to other people that whatever podcasting app like you're listening to this on thinks would like the show. It gets recommended based on reviews. So if you could leave a 5-star review and write a little like why you like the show with it, that would be super helpful. And I also love reading them. They make me really happy. So if you could do that, that would be helpful. Then don't forget to follow me on social media. I am most active on TikTok and I do a little bit of Instagram, not as much as I want to, but I do a little Instagram. You can follow me on both of those platforms at Lena the Jesus Witch. It's just Lena the Jesus Witch. There's no numbers, no spaces, no dots, none of that garbage. If you see somebody with that garbage, they are a scammer. I can't do anything about them, but they exist. And just be wary. So if you're going to follow me, make sure you're following me and not a scammer. So then there are a couple of other ways to help support the Jesus Witch Podcast. And you can find all of these things that I'm talking about by clicking the links that are in the show notes page. Firstly, we have a Patreon. On Patreon, I post ad-free episodes of the podcast. I also post Jesus Witch grimoire pages, which are like Bible-based spellbook pages. And one of the Bible-based spellbook pages is going to be uploaded along with this episode. So you can check that out on there. I also have a tier on Patreon where I send happy mail out and we do a spell together each month over Zoom because I send you the ingredients for the spell. It's a lot of fun. I really love that tier. That's the Hierophant and the High Priestess tiers. But yeah, there's 5 different tiers, a lot of different perks that comes with them. So we have a Patreon. I also have an Etsy shop. I offer a bunch of different types of readings over on Etsy. I'm going to be taking off all of my live one-on-one tarot readings off I have ones where you could book a Zoom call with me. I'm going to be taking those off of Etsy in the beginning of February. So if you wanted to grab a Zoom call reading with me, I would do that sooner rather than later. Everything else is going to stay the same. I'm going to leave Zoom astrology readings. It's just going to be specific with tarot because obviously I'm having a baby soon and babies might be a little bit distracting during a tarot reading. So I need to figure out how to get my footing back with that before I start offering live readings again. But astrology is different because astrology is I could have a fussy baby and read an astrology chart because astrology is a language I speak very fluently. But anyway, over on Etsy, there's a bunch of different readings, Jesus Witch Christian, Jesus Witch and Christian Witch mystery boxes, spell oils that are Bible-based, all the things. There's also a place where you could just donate directly to the show if you feel called to do that. Or like I mentioned before, I'm having a baby soon. I'm having a baby in the beginning of March, or possibly the middle of February, whenever she decides to come. Really hoping she decides to come in Pisces season. But anyway, I am having a baby soon, so I have my baby registry in the link that's in the show notes page. I don't have much for this baby that I need, but we didn't save anything from our previous kids because I don't know. I just didn't. I didn't think we were going to have another baby. But God said otherwise. So anyway, those are all the different ways that you can support the podcast. But yeah, now let's jump into our episode on grief and how to handle that and how I've approached it as a witch who works with Jesus. And trigger warning for this episode, we are going to be talking about death. There might be some mentions of suicide in this episode, so I just wanted to lay that out before we even got into it. If these kinds of conversations are not for you, like you're not in the headspace to listen to them, please don't. Please make sure you're taking care of your mental health before listening to an episode that's like this. If grief is a subject that's difficult for you or something that's at the forefront of your mind. So I didn't have many experiences with death or grief growing up. I remember the biggest death in my like childhood being my aunt's husband, who we were like really close with my it's my mom's aunt, so she's my great aunt, and she's like more like a grandmother figure to me. So her husband died, and that was really difficult, and I remember that being a difficult period of time, but I was super duper young, so I don't remember the emotions as much as I just remember that this was an event that happened. As a child, the biggest examples of grief that I had was like watching my mother actively grieve her mother. My mom lost her mother when she was like, I don't know, I think she was like 23 years old, something like that. So it was the year that she turned 25. So she was 24 years old. My mom's born on New Year's Eve. So she was 24 for the whole year until the last day of it. But anyway, her mom passed away when she was 24 years old. And even though my mother had me later in life, I think she was about 36 when she had me, I was still watching her actively grieve her mother and like actively miss her. And I still do watch her actively miss her. Like, that was my biggest and closest example of grief. I never had personal grief up until I became an adult. So my first real example with grief was honestly my childhood dog, Teddy, dying. He was old. He was 17 years old. Like, that's really old for a dog. He was a Bichon Frise, and they tend to live a little bit longer, but he lived a really long time. So we knew he was gonna die. Like, it wasn't like a super unexpected thing or something that, you know, I didn't feel ready for, you know what I'm saying? Like, he had been sick for a really long time. He always had epilepsy ever since he was a puppy. So his quality of life in general was just like not the greatest, because, you know, he'd have these really bad epileptic seizures and they just didn't seem comfortable for him. And but other than that, he was a happy dog. He had two other dogs in the house, one that he absolutely adored, the other one he adored to bully. But yeah, he was 17 years old and he was just really declining, and my mom and I decided that it was time. So we brought him to be put down in April of 2022. And it was actually Good Friday, so I thought that was really interesting that he died the same day that, like, Jesus metaphorically died. And that was a huge chapter of my life that was closed, because he was, like, my childhood dog. I had him for 17 years. I had him from, like, he passed away when I was 24. So, subtract 17 years from there, I think, like, what I got him at, like, 9, something like that. He was with me for a long time. He met both of my children, you know, my current children. This baby's gonna be the first one that doesn't meet him, and that's, like, really crazy to me. I remember after I got in the accident, like, I went and I talked to him about it, and, like, with him, like, his companion dog passed away before him, and her death wasn't as impactful to me because I wasn't as close to her as I was to him. But, like, I remember when I went to go visit him after that happened, I sat on the floor with him and he, like, whined to me about it. Like, he told me what happened for, like, 10 minutes. He was, like, sitting there and, like, like, talking to me. And, like, I shared an emotional, like, connection with him. I used to sleep with him every night. I used to cuddle with him every night until, you know, like, Jack and the kids came in the picture. He was in my bed every single night, and he was, like, my protector, my guardian. Like, this was my best friend. And I didn't realize, because I felt like I had, like, kind of moved on from him, unfortunately, like, because I moved out of the house, I had kids, you know, like, I had already went through that stage of, like, realizing, like, he's not necessarily, like, my pet right now, like, he's not, like, my guardian in that way, so I didn't think his death would impact me, but it really impacted me in the sense that I realized, like, oh my God, like, I'm growing up. Chapters in my life are closing. Like, it was a hugely symbolic death for me. And I just remember it really, really, really wrecking me in a way that I didn't think his death would. And I still, like, it still, like, hurts a little bit to think about, even, like, 2 years later. And that period of time was just filled with a lot of death and a lot of grief in my family in general. The year before that, in 2021 in July, my mom's cousin passed away, and he was, like, fairly young, and my mom was very close to him, and I just remember that being, like, a really difficult thing, especially, like, watching my aunt, who I mentioned her husband had passed away when I was a kid, her son now, like, passed away, and watching her grieve like that. When I went to his funeral, I was hugging her, and she was, like, just collapsing in my arms. It was, like, the weirdest thing to witness, and watching, like, a mother's grief like that was really difficult. So we had just dealt with that, and now Teddy passed away. So that was really difficult to deal with. And then a couple weeks later, my mom's uncle passes away. So it was just, like, a, you know, a really symbolic death, and then, like, another death. It was just, like, a whole thing. My mom's uncle was not, honestly, like, that impactful for me. It was upsetting, like, watching people grieve and, like, being in that space again so soon, because it was less than a year that we had my mom's cousin's funeral. So now we were back again having another funeral and, like, gathering this way as a family again. So that was difficult. But his death in general, like, he was really old, and he, you know, passed really quickly, and, you know, his family's really close, and, like, you watched them, like, come together more than, like, come apart kind of thing when he passed away. So it, like, seemed more like a natural progression, you know? And then I would say this past year, 2023 was really where grief hit me in the face. And I really got like a good heavy dose of grief.
Now a quick break from this week's episode of the Jesus Witch Podcast to talk about a few ways you can help support the show. One way you can help support the creation of the Jesus Witch Podcast is to become a supporter of us on Patreon. On our Patreon, there are 4 different tiers that you could choose from, and they're all named after tarot cards. We have the Fool, the Magician, the Hierophant, and the High Priestess. In the Fool tier, you get early ad-free episodes of the Jesus Witch Podcast, extended show note pages when available, Christian tarot grimoire pages, and access to our monthly community oracle reading. In the Hierophant tier, you get everything from the Fool tier, tarot spreads to help your connection with Christ, spirit, your higher self. I also like to put out new tarot spreads for each full moon or new moon, Wheel of the Year holiday, and zodiac sign. In the Magician tier, you also get 1 Bible-based spell grimoire page each month. This teaches you how to incorporate the Bible into your own spell practice. In the Hierophant tier, you get everything from the Fool and the Magician tiers, as well as a Happy Mail package from me every single month with the ingredients to make a spell, as well as an extra Bible-based spell page for your grimoire. And then you get access to our spellcasting Zoom each month, where we do the spell that I sent you together. In the High Priestess tier, you get everything from the Magician, Fool, and Hierophant tiers, as well as an extra Bible-based spell from the Sun and Moon Oily Co. in your Happy Mail package each month, and a one-on-one Zoom call with me every single month to discuss your practice, how you're growing, and any suggestions that I could give to you to help you on your path. Patreon tiers start at $6.66 per month, and you can find the link to that in the show notes page. Another way you could help support the show is by shopping at my Etsy shop, The Sun and Moon Oily Co. Over on The Sun and Moon Oily Co., I offer Bible-based spell oils, ritual bath salts, Jesus Witch or Christian Witch specific mystery boxes and custom spell oils. Over on my Etsy shop is where you can also book different types of readings with me. I offer tarot readings for your inner child, channel messages from Jesus or from Lilith. I also have a listing for general tarot readings. You could grab a soul contract reading between yourself and another person, or yourself and a deity that you're working with or curious to work with, or even grab an astrology reading for yourself or an astrology reading for your kiddos to help you parent them better and more effectively. There's also Jesus Witch merch on my Etsy shop and so many other things that I am planning on adding to my shop. So head over to the Sun and Moon Oily Co. to check that out. Another thing you can do to support the growth of the Jesus Witch podcast is join our Discord community. The Jesus Witch Church is our free 18+ Discord community where we host Jesus Witch church services and moon circles. This is your place to ask all Jesus Witch or witchy questions in general and make some really awesome friends. You can find the link to our church in the show notes page. Another free way you could support the Jesus Witch podcast is by sharing this show with a friend and rating it on whatever podcasting app you're using with 5 stars. Leaving us a nice review really helps get the word out about the show, and don't forget to subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting app. Another thing you could do to help the creation of the show is send a donation to the Jesus Witch podcast via Cash App or PayPal. It takes a lot of time and effort for me to create the Jesus Witch podcast, and getting donations helps me get the support and help that I need to be able to create this type of content for you. Donations also help keep this podcast free to everybody, so if you love this show and the information that's being put out there, please consider sending a donation to my PayPal or my Cash App. The username on both is the Jesus Witch Podcast, but the link for both of those can be found in the show notes page. And the final way that you could help support the creation of the Jesus Witch Podcast is by sending me a gift. In the show notes page, I have the link to my Amazon wish list. Everything that I put on this wish list was put there to help create content for you. Simply put, buying things off of this Amazon wish list helps me so that I don't have to purchase them myself, so I can put more of my resources in towards making the Jesus Witch podcast. If you would like to support the Jesus Witch podcast by buying me a gift or in any other way, you could find all the links to everything mentioned in this ad in the show notes page. Now let's get back to the show.
So in April of 2023, one of my childhood friends committed suicide. And this was a very, very, very difficult death for me to deal with. It was, honest to God, it was traumatizing. And it still is. Like, it's something where I can sit here and literally see. I can literally, like, see his wake, literally see his funeral, hear his mom breaking down in my ear. Like, I can see it and feel it still on my whole cellular level being, you know. It was so traumatic. This was a kid that I have known since we were, like 5 or 6 years old. Like, I'm not even exaggerating. I knew him for about 20 years. And, you know, at the time that he passed away, we weren't particularly close. Unfortunately, like, me being a mom, and especially after I had Scott, and really, like, full into, like, mom mode, where after I had Scott was really, or, like, right before I had Scott was when we decided that we were going to be a homeschool family and, like, really keep our kids at home with us, and I was going to be a mom full time. So I kind of lost connection with a lot of my friends, but he was somebody who I would see often in the community. He knew my kids. Like, he could recognize my kids. He actually worked in a local store, and if my mom had my kids and she was out shopping with them and he would see them, he'd come up and say hi to my kids because he knew them. Like, you know, he was one of those people. And I was thinking about him a lot right before it happened, and I kept meaning to reach out to him because this was right before I was gonna go see Taylor Swift, and him and I were big pop culture girlies. Like, we had earth science together in high school. Like, that was one of the classes we had together. Like, him and I really, like, our relationship peaked in high school. Like, we went out all the time in high school together. Like, he would come hang out with me and my friends. I went to his house, he went to my house. Like, We went to movies together. Like, I was very close to him. Like, he was one of my, like, closest friends. And he was a pop culture girly. And we loved to sit there and gossip about Victorious, Drake and Josh, like all of these shows, like these, like Nickelodeon, like we were both like Nickelodeon fans more than like Disney. We liked like Hannah Montana and Wizards of Waverly Place, but we were big, really big into like Drake and Josh, Victorious, Ariana Grande, like talking about stuff like that. And one of the things that we really liked to do together was to sing. And we would sing all of the pop songs that were in the top tens. But one of our favorites was I Knew You Were Trouble by Taylor Swift. And I have a video of him and I singing it together in like the halls of, our high school and just like screaming the lyrics, like not giving a shit. Like him and I were both like not for nothing. We were both losers who were like bullied and like didn't have a lot of friends, and we definitely connected on that. So I had this really awesome video of us doing that together, and before the concert I was explaining to my eldest kid, like, going to see Taylor Swift's really full circle for me. It's really full circle for your dad because we grew up with her. And, like, I wasn't the biggest fan of her growing up. I was definitely more like a Miley Cyrus, One Direction, Justin Bieber kind of girly growing up. But for every milestone, Taylor was there. And I had this like one piece of evidence to show him, being like, listen, like, this is me and my friend, and this is one of my favorite memories from high school, and it's with her. I was showing it to my kids a lot, and I was really meaning to message him and like tell him that, and I just never got the chance to. I always feel like a little bit of guilt about that I never got to reach out to him. And it's not guilt like that. I feel like if I had reached out, maybe things would be different, because I know me as one person, I don't have that power. And once a person's brain is like that, it's really hard to get them out. But I at least could have talked to him one more time, and at least he could have known that I was like thinking about him. And I'm sure he knows now. Like, he definitely knows now that I was thinking about him a lot, but it's just not the same. That's been like a really difficult death to experience and to deal with and to cope with as you hear me start breaking down talking about him. But what I find the most interesting is that the day he passed away, I know the exact day he passed away, and I was able to like mark it on my like calendar. I had this really weird experience. So I was like getting ready to do TikTok Bible study with Hannah, Mimi, and Sarah. If you don't know, every once in a while, me and Hannah from Spirituality and Sarah from Strazi 97, Sarah Reds, I'm not gonna be able to pronounce this, the author of The Class Witch, her, that cool badass, the Baba Yaga Christian witch, Sarah Rod Stratson. I'm so sorry, Sarah. I cannot pronounce your last name. But Sarah, her, and then Mimi, Feral Housewife, so Feral Southern Housewife. We all do like a TikTok Christian Witch Bible study together. And I remember I was getting ready to do this Bible study, and I was grabbing like my candles and things that I like to keep around me when we chat together. And all of a sudden, I felt like this weird sensation go into my ear, and it was like a buzzing, and it was like, zzz, and it was going in one ear, and it went through my head, and it went out the other, and it kind of felt like something was like coming in and then going out. And I was like, wow, that is so weird. I have never experienced that before. And I'm like, Spirit, I'm listening. Whatever you have to say, I'm listening. Like, I don't know what that was. I remembered like taking note of it, taking note of what happened in my body. And just knowing the day based on the, when we did TikTok Bible study. And like, I knew what day it was because I could go back on like my phone and like, see what I was doing, sort of thing. But anyway, then like 3 days later, I get a DM from somebody that we went to elementary school with. And she was like, hey, did you hear about what happened to my friend? And I said, no. And she told me that he committed suicide. And I remember I was sitting in my bed when I read that message. And I audibly screamed, no. And I just started, like, sobbing hysterically. Like, that was shocking, you know? That was just really shocking. And so, yeah, so that death has been really difficult to deal with and to grieve from, because it's like, it's somebody who was my age that I've known for so long, and he had an open casket, and like, you know, you're seeing him there, and I remember like going up to him and putting my hand on his chest and on his shoulder and being like, oh, I can't, like, just like, I just remember, like, really, like, breaking down and, like, really being upset. His family, like, knew me because I'd been hanging out with him for a really long time. And I still have, like, pink hair. I've always had pink hair and, like, colored hair. So, not really. I haven't really changed much. It was just one of the most awful and traumatic experiences ever to, like, experience. And, like, as somebody who's dealt with suicidal ideation, to know that somebody I care about so deeply felt so badly about himself that he actually took his own life. Like, it's something like, you know, like, you'd make a lot of passive suicidal jokes. And, you know, me and my husband would say a lot of passive suicidal things, but after that happened, it doesn't feel the same, you know? It really just altered my opinion on that, and, like, seeing, like, an actual family's grief and seeing a mom mourn her child, yeah, it's just something that deeply, deeply affected me. I don't think that there has been a day that has gone by since that happened where I do not think about him. Yeah, it's something that was absolutely ingrained in my brain. And then right after that, less than a month, in May of 2023, my grandfather, my only living grandparent, died on the Taurus new moon. And I thought that was particularly interesting, because I was born on a new moon and then my grandfather died on a new moon. So my mom had her first baby on a Taurus new moon. And then her last living parent died on a Taurus new moon. I thought that was particularly interesting and, like, particularly weird. And I remember the night that it happened, my mom called me, and when I saw her contact flash on my screen, I was like, I look at my husband, I'm like, my grandfather died, right before, even before I picked up the phone. And then I picked it up and, you know, I'm like, is everything okay? And she's like, no, she's like, everything's fine. Your grandfather died tonight. I just wanted to let you know. And so obviously, like, I offered to come down and, like, you know, be with her. She didn't want me to do that. And then I said to her, I'm like, you know, it's really interesting because, you know, tonight's a Taurus new moon. And now this is the second real major life event that's happened to you on a Taurus new moon. And shortly after that, my mom hung up the phone and I was like, oh shit, I should not have said that. That was the wrong thing to say at that time. But it was just like where my brain went. Like, that's how, like, I'm one of those people that, like, that's how I process emotion is through astrology. So I was processing it that way. And I really thought I messed up by saying that to her until I saw her Facebook post, like, the day after, a couple of days later, when they posted the obituary online, she wrote, like, specifically, like, you know, like, crossed over during the Taurus new moon. And that's how I knew, like, oh, no, I said the right thing. I comforted her with that. Like, that wasn't an off-cusp thing to say. She resonated with that sort of thing. So that made me feel better. But my grandfather's death was particularly weird it was hard, really hard for me to like navigate my mother through that. My mother and I are very, very close. I don't know if you've picked up on that yet. but my mom and I are like it's like a problem kind of close. Like I talk to my mom every single day on the phone for at least an hour a day. If I talk to her less than an hour in a day, it's either I was really busy or she was really busy, or like I was really sick or she was really sick, because like it's not, we always talk for like more than an hour a day. So I felt like a lot of my job after he passed away was to help manage her grief and like do the things that she needed to have done and make things like a little easier for her. So helping print out pictures, helping get things to the funeral home, speaking during my grandfather's funeral, picking Bible verses for it. Like I took a lot of that responsibility on, so that she didn't have to deal with that. And because of that, I didn't really face my grief until we were at his burial. And my cousin and I were standing over his grave. And it was a surreal experience. One, because like my mom named me after her mother. And my grandfather was obviously being buried with his wife. So there was just an open grave plot with, you know, a headstone with my name on it. So that was like, firstly, that was a little unsettling. I'm not even gonna lie. But my mom used to tell me stories about how when she was growing up, my grandmother and grandfather, they would take her and her siblings to the local airport so that they could watch airplanes take off. And that was something that they liked to do as a family. And as my cousin and I are standing over his grave, we were putting a flower on his coffin, an airplane flew right over us, and I was like, he's watching airplanes fly in heaven with grandma now. And I just started like sobbing in front of everybody, in front of my whole family, which was super embarrassing. But you know what, I was the only one that hadn't cried yet, so it wasn't that embarrassing. I was definitely like, everybody was like, oh, Lena's being strong for her mom. And then I finally like broke. But that was like really surreal. It was not as hard to deal with as my friend's death, because my grandfather was 95 years old. He lived a super full life. He met 3 of his great-grandchildren. Unfortunately, he's not meeting the first great-granddaughter, which is like, that's really upsetting. But I also, this is kind of woo, but I also don't think that she would be here if he was here. Like, I don't think they were meant to exist at the same time, if that makes sense. Because the next month, right after my friend died, then my grandfather died, the month after that, I got pregnant. So it was like, literally in the span of like 3 months, I experienced the full circle of life. It was really, really, really weird. And that's not even mentioning the death that happened right before all of this was my husband's grandfather. And my husband's grandfather, he loved our kids. He was so cool to hang out with. I absolutely loved my husband's grandfather. So that was a hard death to deal with. That was hard to watch him deal with. So there was just a lot of grief before, you know, this baby came. And I've been dealing with a lot of grief since 2021, basically. But really, these two past deaths in 2023, my friend and then my grandfather, really made me face what grief is and explore it and get comfortable with it and like really accept that this is a part of life. Because firstly, not only are you grieving that person, like not only was I grieving my friend, my relationship with him, the memories that him and I had, like just really feeling empathetic and sympathetic towards his mom. Not only was I feeling that, not only was I feeling the grief towards my grandfather, feeling like, you know, that really sucks. My only living grandparent that I've ever had my entire life is dead. Like now I don't have any living grandparents. You know, my mom is grieving the loss of her last parent sort of thing. Like that was really difficult, but it's also grieving the part and the chapter of your life that they represent. These two deaths really, really solidified for me that my childhood is over. Like, my teenagehood is over. I am in the throes of adulthood. I'm 26, gonna be 27 years old this year. I'm closer to 30 than I am to 20. And it makes you face your own, like, morality, your own, like, aging process, you know? And, like, when this bridge is gonna come for you, sort of thing. So I've been dealing a lot with grief since then. And I want to talk about a couple of Bible verses that have helped me through it. And then I also want to talk about a spell that has helped me through grief and, like, my go-to spell after somebody passes away that I do to bring myself comfort, bring their family comfort, bring them comfort. I want to share all of those things with you, so that if you're also navigating through grief, that you can hopefully involve spirit with you on that journey. Because, like, I truly believe grief is a spiritual emotion, because, like, it doesn't exist without people crossing over into spirit. I know that sounded woo-woo, that sounded kind of confusing, I hope that made sense, but it's definitely one of those emotions that you feel, not just on an intellectual basis, but, like, in the pits of your soul. So first and foremost, my favorite Bible verse about grief is one of the most simple Bible verses in the entire universe, but it's Jesus wept, and that is John 11:35. This verse was written after Lazarus passed away, and Lazarus, Jesus famously raises from the dead, but even though he raised him from the dead, Jesus took a moment to weep and to grieve his friend's passing. He was crying over it, showing us that when somebody passes away, when your friend passes away, when your family passes away, it's okay to cry about it. It's okay to feel these emotions. You are meant to feel these emotions. Jesus felt these emotions. Even knowing that he could resurrect Lazarus, he still felt those emotions. So I love that verse. It is so human of Jesus. It really humanizes him. And I think it makes us all, like, it should make us all realize that, like, grieving, normal part of life. The next verse that I have here is one that's a little bit more comforting to me, in the sense of, like, it's just, like, one of those, like, very frilly, very, like, nice, very soothing, like, grief Bible verses. One of the ones that, like, if you just need a little bit of fluff for the moment, this one might be helpful. So this verse is Revelation 21:4, and that says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." I like that. I know that that's kind of like one of those that's like taken out of context in the form of grief, but this is going to be a controversial statement. It's okay to cherry pick the Bible when you're just looking for verses to comfort you. When you're looking for verses to base your theology on and to, like, form an opinion of God with, no, you shouldn't be cherry picking. But if you're just looking for something to make you feel better during a very difficult time, it is okay to take a verse out of context so that it comforts you. If it's a more comforting verse. And the way that this one's worded is really comforting. No more pain. Like, don't you? I want to live in a place with no more pain. I experience pain all the time. I would love to have a pain-free day. So I'm excited for that. Like, I'm excited for God wiping my tears and, like, me not experiencing pain. And that's something that I think about with grief and, like, with people that have passed over, like, understanding they're not in pain anymore. My grandfather's not sick anymore. He's not, like, fighting for his life anymore. My friend, as much as it's really difficult to accept the way that he passed away, that you know he committing suicide and accepting that and, like, moving on from that, at least I know he's not in pain anymore. He's not being tormented by his brain, you know. He's not sick anymore. Mental illness is just the same as a physical illness. Somebody dying because of their depression is just the same as somebody dying from cancer. Sure, the methods might be different and the actual cause of death might be different, but the sickness, the root, the sickness is the same, right? They're dying from an illness, kind of thing. So that verse is really comforting to me, especially when thinking about, like, my friend and how he died and what he must have been feeling before then. Like, just knowing, like, he's in a place where he can feel a little bit more peace, that very much helps me. And I know that he's at peace. He I'm gonna start crying again. He visits me. He lets me know he's here. he lets me know he's okay. He definitely does. There, you know, like, there are moments where I just have things that are so undeniably him. If this baby makes it to Pisces season, that is 100% him and him wanting to give me a little bit of his energy because he was a Pisces. You know, when I'm in the car and I'm really upset about him and I'm really thinking about him, he plays Call Your Mom by Noah Kahan. Oh, which that song is so painful, but when you're hearing it on a day where you feel really upset and you're really in the throes of grief of somebody who actually, like, died by suicide, and you hear that song, it kind of, I don't know, for me it's kind of been like, okay, everything's okay, and maybe I should check up on his mom. But yeah, it's just a comforting verse, and I like it because it helps reassure me that my loved ones who have passed on are okay. The next verse that I have written is Psalm 34 verse 18, which says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." Another one that I find particularly comforting is Matthew 5:4, which says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Mourning is a blessing. It's something that you're not supposed to ignore. I feel like this one ties really nicely with the first one that we were talking about, Jesus wept, and like the humanity of Jesus and him telling us that our human emotions are okay to experience. The other one that I have written is also from Matthew, which is Matthew 11:28-30, which says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I like this verse, and for me, when I look at it in a lens of grief, it is just the knowing that, like, what Jesus says comes to pass. Like, we're going to be in a place with him. We're going to get to go have a beautiful afterlife. We're not going to feel pain. We're going to be comforted, sort of thing. And that, thinking about that, as heavy as grief is, the knowledge that it's not forever and things get better is light. So I really like that verse for that. The last verse or verses that I'm going to read is from Ecclesiastes 3:1-8. And this was actually the Bible verse that I picked to read at my, or to have read at my grandfather's funeral. And they also read this at my uncle's funeral. So, or my mom's uncle's funeral. I really love this Bible verse for mourning. I feel like it really humanizes us, and it really humanizes the Bible. And it talks about how, like, everything, every emotion is acceptable. And I think that is such an important lesson to learn. So the verse says, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to gather to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." That Bible verse, I feel like you can apply it to so many different situations, but like when thinking about grief, grief is so multifaceted. There are times that you're laughing about memories with your loved one. There are times that you're crying about memories with your loved one, or crying because they're not here. There are times where you're dancing to music that reminds you of them. There's times that you're weeping to music of them. Like, it's so dualistic. It like provides a dualistic approach to everything. And I really, really, really like this verse, again, because it just humanizes us, humanizes emotions, and shows how important it is to actually feel. So now I want to talk about a spell that I like to cast when people pass away. It's something that brings me a lot of comfort. I'm going to make a little grimoire page and post it to Patreon and make it available to everybody in the Fool and Up tiers. So if you want to download that or see what image I make, you can head over to Patreon for that. But this is my personal favorite grief spell. Most of my spells, if you're on Patreon, you know all of my spells pretty much, are charged by a Bible verse. This particular one, I don't charge with a verse. I kind of charge it with the energy and the intention of Jesus. If I feel like I need to read a verse while lighting the candle, I do. But for the most part, I'm usually casting this spell when I just learned somebody's died, or like when I'm really dealing with the grief of losing them. So it's a little bit more basic because I don't want to remember so many things. I just want to be able to like light the candle and feel peace and send peace and have that connection with spirit instead of like getting really nitty gritty with the spell or really like specific with it, if that makes sense. So basically all you need for this spell is a white or a blue candle, some salt for like protection and clarity, a toothpick or something to carve the name of your loved one into the candle with, and then some comforting crystals if you want. I usually like to put amethyst, blue calcite, selenite, things like that. Just things that make me feel really comforted and really clear and connected to spirit. And that's really, I'm just looking to feel comforted and clear at that moment. So casting this spell is super duper simple. All you do is take your candle and carve the name of the person that you're grieving into it. Then on like a fire safe surface or a fire safe plate, you're gonna wanna secure your candle to that. Then you're gonna take your salt and make a ring around your candle with that salt just for protection and to like, you know, enclose the candle with. Then you're just gonna light your candle and send warm energy towards the person you're grieving. You can also send energy towards their family. Ask spirit for some comforting energy for you. Just really like allow that to be your time to have some peace. And that's how I cast that spell. Super simple, super easy. You don't need a lot of things for it. If you don't want to use the salt, you don't have to use the salt. If you don't want to carve the person's name into the candle, you don't have to do that. The point of this spell is to just have that warm energy in your home, there to comfort you, there to comfort the person that had passed, there to comfort their family. And it's just a way to send energy out into the universe and out into the world in a more positive way. I'm also somebody who really like, when I feel something, like when I'm anxious or upset or like depressed or like I'm mourning, I really like to cast a spell with that energy because it makes me feel like I'm doing something and I'm like in control of that feeling a little bit more, instead of it feeling just so out of my hands. So that is all I have to say to you about grief and how I cope with it as a witch who works with Jesus, some Bible verses that have really helped me through grieving and my grief journey. I hope that this episode was helpful for you if you are somebody who is grieving somebody as well. Grief is just such a weird and complex emotion. It's something that you feel. It's like a dull emotion, you know what I'm saying? But it's also really sharp. It's sometimes it's really like dull in the back burner and like sometimes it's really sharp. It's just important to remember to take time for yourself, give yourself grace, connect with spirit, and like remember your loved one for the things that made you smile about them. Like with my friend, like I'm not gonna remember. Like, I mean, like obviously I'm gonna remember and his death was really, really traumatic for me, but I try not to focus on that. I try to focus on the light things that I gained from him and knowing like he was one of the only people in the world that matched my energy and was like, you know, like a pop girly and like would go screaming in the hallways. And like when he found somebody he vibed with, he didn't give a shit. I loved him for that. And I loved that I got to experience that side of him. And with my grandfather, just like remembering like the memories of him watching me when I was a kid and, you know, buying us ice cream and just remembering those things instead of like remembering the more sour parts about it too, and like really taking time to focus on those and be grateful that those people were in my life and that I got to experience them here on an earthly plane. If you enjoyed this episode of the Jesus Witch Podcast and you found it helpful, don't forget to subscribe to us on whatever podcasting platform you're currently listening to us on and give the podcast a rating of 5 stars because it helps to get the word out about the show. And if you would like to help support the Jesus Witch Podcast, there are a bunch of links in the show notes page to our Patreon, my Etsy, ways to donate to the show, ways to send the baby that I am currently pregnant with some things, which is super helpful to me. Takes like a little bit of weight off my chest kind of thing. But yeah, there's a bunch of other stuff in the show notes page as well, like my social medias, my free Discord group, resources, all that good stuff. Just go ahead and have fun down there. It's like a little treasure box in the show notes page. For today's verse of the day, I wanted to pick something that was like light and airy and happy, just to end this more heavy episode on a happy note. So the verse that we're going to talk about today is Psalm 28 verse 7, which says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy and with my song I praise him." I just like that. It's cute. It's nice. It's happy. I like the fact that my heart leaps for joy with God sometimes. You know, sometimes having a relationship with him is a little heavy. Sometimes doing tarot readings with him is really like just getting called out. But for the most part, I feel really grateful to have the relationship that I do with God, and he does make me feel happy. Other deities also make me feel happy as well. So I just like that verse. It's nice. It's fluffy. It's a good way to end this more heavy episode with. So with that, I will see you next time. Thank you again for listening to the Jesus Witch podcast. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye.